Okay, so this week we are on the fifth parak of the book of Nehemiah, and the chapter is brought to you by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Not that I gain you, or did I lose you now? You'll see, lahavdil. I mean, you'll see exactly why I referenced that. But this chapter is all about social and economic concerns in Israel during the time of Nehemiah. Again, what has Nehemiah tackled up until this point? So Nehemiah is certainly a political force to be reckoned with, and he's largely tackled what he saw as a defenseless people. He was bothered by the fact that the wall, we have to build the wall because we have to protect. I don't want to say anything, but so he builds the wall, and that has been successful. And if you recall, even after building the wall, they came into a second concern, and that was the defense of the people, that there were haters, that there were those who wanted to detract the Jewish people from building and succeeding. And so instead he sets up this entire civilian police force, this defensive corps, to protect the wall. So up until now, we would largely define Nehemiah's efforts as successful. Everything he's wanted to do, he's been successful. He manipulates the king to send him. He wants to build the wall. Check. Even when there are those who are trying to interrupt it, he is successful in protecting the wall. Good. Now we come until chapter 5 and we are introduced to a new set of problems and a new set of challenges. And he jumps out right from the gate. Pasuk 1. Vatihi tzakat ha'am unishehem gdola el acheihem ayudim. There is crying, screaming from ha'am el acheihem ayudim. So who's crying to whom? They're crying to each other. In other words, fellow Jews are coming to one another. And they're crying out to them. What are they crying out to them about? So he's going to list four different reasons for why they're crying out. V'yesh asher omrim banenu uvenosenu anachnu rabim. We have lots of children. V'nikha dagan v'nochla v'nichya. Right, there's obviously poverty. There's economic inequality that's taking place. And so they come to their fellow brethren. Who are they coming to? They're coming to the rich people, right? They're coming to the 1%. And they're saying to them, you encouraged us to have children. We now have 4, 5, 6 children apiece, and we're out of food. We can't put food on the table. We can't support our children. Right, give us food so that we can live, so that we can satiate, so we can satisfy our families. And there are those who say, Siddasenu uchramenu uvatenu anachnu orvim v'nikha dagan barav. Right, what are we forced to do? We're forced to mortgage. Right, we're forced to take out a loan against our houses in order to feed our families. Now, you and I both know what happens when you take out a loan against your house. What happens when you take on debt? So one of two things happen, right? I'm not a financial advisor, but I know enough to know. Either you succeed and you pay that debt off over time, or you become even more in debt. You become underwater and you can't pay off your mortgage, and then the bank comes and takes your house. That's the fear here, right? His fear isn't that they have to take off loans. The fear is that the loans are going to become so burdensome. Don't forget, if I need a loan and I'm stuck against the wall, and you know that, what are you going to charge me? Interest. A lot of interest. What aren't you allowed to do according to the Torah? Charge interest. That's clearly what's taking place here. The rich are charging interest to the poor, and the poor are feeling the burden of those loans, and they're no longer capable of paying off their debt. So they said, you're forcing us into a position where we have to basically take out mortgages, we have to take out debt against our homes, and we're going to have to buy food to prevent ourselves from starving. Pasuk dalet, pasuk 4. V'yesh asher omrim, lavinu kesef lemidas hamelech. We have to pay off the king's taxes. And so we borrow money to pay off the king's taxes. Sadosenu chramenu. And what are we borrowing against, once again? We're borrowing against our houses and our... Right, we're taking out a line of credit, so to speak, against our houses and against our fields. Ve'ata kivsar achenu bisarenu, kivanenu, kivnehem banenu. Right? Is our blood any different than your blood? In other words, are you any better than we are? Vihine anachnu kovshim es banenu ves benosenu lavadim. What am I forced to do? I'm being forced to sell my children off as servants, as slaves, in order to be able to pay off my debt. V'yesh mibnoseinu nichbashos. And we've already had to sell off our daughters as slaves. V'ein le'el yadenu usidoseinu uchramenu la'acherim. Right? We don't have a choice. Says Rashi, ein koach biyadenu liftosa. Because we're so burdened with debt, we can't redeem them from slavery. So instead, what are we doing? We're just selling off our fields and our vineyards to other people. Now this is called a cycle of poverty. Right? There's no way out. We have too many children. We have to put food on the table. So we bet against our fields. Then the king comes along and says, oh, there's something called taxes and you have to pay it or I kill you. So we bet even further. We take on even more debt. And we take on more debt and more debt until we can no longer pay off the interest on that debt. And then the creditors come and they say, we want our money. And we say, I don't have my money. So they say, okay, I'm going to take your fields. And if they take my field, then I can't work my field anymore and I lose produce on the field. And once I lose my field, I lose the produce in my field and I no longer have money. What do? They take slaves. Okay, that's a bad system. That's exactly what the Torah wanted to avoid when it prohibits us against taking interest against our fellow men. These people clearly ignore that, and they charged interest. And this is the society that's going on. There's economic inequality, enormous economic inequality taking place, to the extent that it's causing a rift in society. And so these people are coming to Nehemiah, who's proven himself to be successful. He's a political leader. He's done a really good job up until this point. And they say, we need your help. This is an unsustainable system. Vayichar li ma'od, says Nehemiah. When I heard about this, I was furious. Say the Meforshim, he wasn't furious in like sheer anger, but he was disappointed. He was enormously disappointed that the people would treat each other this way. Take it. Right? He was enormously disappointed. Vayichar. Chara li al tzakat anim, says the Malbim. I was furious that these poor people are coming to me. Me'akata rishonot she'tzaku amini asa tzedakah. What bothered me more than anything else? Because I understand that if you take out a loan, you can't pay it back. There's slavery, right? I get that. But the first pasuk is what bothers me the most, which is that we have so many children and we can't put food on the table. What's the only reason for that? That's not anyone's fault. In other words, that's not I took out a loan and I can't pay it back. What's the foundation of the economic inequality? That the rich aren't giving tzedakah to the poor. They're not doing their fair of the system. Which is why I said that this is brought to you by those who want to put a tax on the wealthy. But that's exactly what they're arguing. They're saying, we can't do it. It's an argument our day schools make all the time. Right? People have lots of children. It's hard for them to pay tuition. So we come to people with means and we say, can you pay into a scholarship fund to enable those with many children to support themselves? And clearly, the wealthy were not doing their part. And as a result of it, it leads to this domino effect where there's slavery and there's debt and there's mortgages and there's things that people... But at its foundation, says the Malbim, what bothers Nehemiah is that they weren't giving tzedakah. And if you had given tzedakah, people never would have been put in this situation. You never would have had this situation of economic equality. And so Pasuk Vav, Vayichar li me'od, says Nehemiah, I was very upset when I heard this. Kasher shamati es zakatsam ve'esa dvarim ha'ila. When I heard all about this, this wasn't right. This is not the way you treat another human being. This is not the system of tzedakah that the Torah had instituted. Pasuk zayin vayimalech libi alai. What does vayimalech libi alai mean? So Rashi says vayoetz libi batzmi. In other words, I looked into it. I tried to figure out what's the best situation. Okay? The Malbim points out something astounding. The Vayimalech isn't just about I looked for Eitzah, in other words, I looked for advice, but what does the word Vayimalech sound very similar to? Melech, a king. Says the Malbim, Libi Lavash Ruach Malchut Umemshala. What does that mean? My heart, Libi Lavash, it dawned, it wore Ruach Malchut, the spirit of a king. What does that mean? What does that mean to wear the spirit of a king?
I felt like that.
I felt like that. Right? What do we say in English? Fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. What does fake it till you make it mean? You walk into the job on the first day, and you sit at your desk, and your boss hands you a stack of papers, and he closes your door, and you say to yourself, oh boy, I don't know what I'm doing. Right? Or you walk into a room, you're a public speaker, and you're not really sure you know the material, you're not really sure, so what do? You fake it. Right? We dress a certain way, that's one way we fake it. We act with a certain confidence. You put on a front. We do that all the time. That's what, says the Malbim, Nechemiah does. What authority did Nechemiah have to tackle this issue? Zero. What background did Nechemiah have to tackle this issue? None. What education did he have about economic inequality? None. So Nechemiah says, I really have no reason to be tackling this issue, but vayimalech libi alai, it bothered me so much that I realized that if I just walked into a room and took control, I could affect change. My cousin taught me that the first day of college. Remember, my cousin's a little older than me, so the first day of college, I spoke to him right afterwards. I said, how did it go? He said, were you nervous? He said, no, why should I be nervous? I said, well, it's your first day of college, you don't know anybody. He said, I realized that everyone was in the exact same situation as I was. Everyone was walking in, nobody knew anybody, and everyone was nervous. So if I walked in confidently, everyone would assume that I knew what I was talking about, and they would all gravitate toward me. And if you knew him, that's exactly what happened. That's what Nehemiah says here. Nehemiah, everyone's looking around. No one knows what to do. The situation, the economic situation, is crumbling at its core, because you and I both know that it's an unsustainable situation. And Nehemiah hears these stories, and he says, you know what? I might not have the background, I might not have the education, I might not have the authority, but I'm just going to step forward and I'm going to do it. It's going to, what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy. If I act a certain way, then I'll become that. And that's exactly what he does. Vayimalech libi alai. I'm going to act a certain way. All right, by the way, the Malbim continues. Shelo rav mitoch kaso. He's not angry. Ki libo shehu koach hamemshala asher banefesh. Melech elyon ve'atzarti kasi. Shelo al yedehi paliut hakas. He's not acting out of anger here. Al yedehi te'orerut hatzedek ve'ayoshar. He wants to do what's right. He feels the stories. He's heard the cries. He knows the pain. And so he says, I got to do something. So vayamalech libi alai. I decide I'm going to do something. I sought advice for myself, which means he thought about it. He asked people. He realized that this is the right thing to do. Va'ariva etachorim ve'etaskanim. What does va'ariva mean? Va'ariva. Right, he gave them Musar, right? Rashi says, Nitochachti. I gave them Hochacha. In other words, I reprimanded them. Vetaskanim. So I go to the people in charge and I gave them Musar. Veomra lahem, Masa ish b'achiv atem nosim. Rashi says, Madua atem osim kain. Why are you doing this to other people? Hayalachem lefarnesa anim alalu. What's the best way to take someone out of poverty?
Give them a job.
Give them a job. Give tzedakah. Ve'atem malvim lahem mamon. Lichvosh b'neim u'b'noseim v'dosoim v'karmeim b'teim. What are you doing instead of giving tzedakah? You're giving them loans. Now a loan can be nice if it's a reasonable loan. A loan can be nice if it's an interest-free loan. But these loans were not interest-free. Right? We have a name for people like them. They're called sharks, loan sharks. A shark is not, we don't call them, you know, loan kitty cats, right? They're loan sharks. Okay, these guys were loan sharks. And so Nehemiah comes to them and says, how could you do that? Give tzedakah, give another person a job, but to lend them with this level of interest, that's not doing anyone a favor. Masa ish be'achiv atem nosim ve'atein aleim ki la gedola. And what does he do? What does he do? Kihila gedola. He applies
a lot of people.
Pressure. He brings an enormous amount of people. And there's a rally. And they're banging on the doors of these creditors. And what does he do by, what does he accomplish by doing that? He guilts them. He guilts them. He makes them feel embarrassed. In other words, it's one thing if you come to me for, right, Gigi comes to me for a loan. Okay? And she says, you know, times are a little tough. I could use $100. I say, fine, I'll give you $100, but I need 100% interest. You got to pay me back $200 in a week, or it becomes double every week thereafter. So all of a sudden, it's a year later, someone could do the math. Gigi owes me a lot of money. Okay? So am I embarrassed or not? I don't know. I feel pretty good about myself. I'm going to get my money eventually. Right? If not, I'll take her house, I'll take her field, I'll take her car, or she'll come to work for me, right? I'll get my money eventually. What happens all of a sudden if Gigi were to place an advertisement in the weekly this week that says, need work, Moskowitz putting me underwater with his debt, right? And all of a sudden she and all of her little friends come to my door and they're picketing outside my door. And they're blocking the street so my neighbors can't get by. And when my neighbors asked what's going on, they said, well, Moskowitz over there is, he's a loan shark. He's a lowlife. All of a sudden, that changes the equation for me. Because now, the guys I was doing business with might say, well, we don't want to deal with Moskowitz because his debtors are going to come to us also, and it's going to make us look bad. It's going to be our PR nightmare. We don't need that. It's going to be all over Twitter and Facebook. So what do I need that for? So they're going to cut me out of the equation. I don't want to be cut out of the equation. I don't want to be the bad guy. And so what am I likely to do now? Either renegotiate or forgive the loans. But the power of the masses here is what's going to compel these people to do the right thing. Now let's pause here for a second. Because one of the things that we've been developing throughout the book of Nehemiah and Ezra is differences. Difference between Nehemiah and Ezra. So let's start with that. How does Ezra affect change? Do you remember? Sits and waits for everybody else. Leads by example. Nehemiah is now the exact opposite. What does he do? He rallies people. He gets everybody together and he says, let's go. We're going to rally outside Moskowitz's house to embarrass him, to shame him into doing the right thing. But think about now, contrast this to other Nevi'im, to other prophets. Think about Yirmiyahu for a second. Okay? What do we know? You don't even have to know a PhD dissertation about Yirmiyahu. What is the little bit you know about Yirmiyahu? So if you pay, I'm assuming everyone pays attention to the Haftorahs that we read on Shabbos. So even a rudimentary understanding of Yirmiyahu gleaned from some of the Haftorahs, what do we know about him? So we know that he was a hesitant leader. When God comes to him and calls upon him, what does Yirmiyahu say? Thanks, but no thanks. And that's why, when do we read that? I believe the Haftorah for, I think it's the Haftorah for Shmos, right? Pretty sure. You could check. But I think so. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is also a reticent leader. God calls upon Moshe. Moshe says, I'm not the right guy. What does Hashem tell Yirmiyahu? And I don't have my Navi here, but he, what does he tell him? He says, you're going to be a... He says, you're going to... Well, we get to that also. I'm not... No. What is he... He uses very explicit language. I'm just pulling it up on my phone because I didn't bring a Tanakh with me. But what does he say? Let's find Yirmiyahu quickly. Okay, Yirmiyahu, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Yirchet. Ve'ani hinei netaticha hayom la'ir mivtzar. Hashem says, I'm going to make you on this day a fortified city. Ula'amud barzel, and I'm going to make you a iron pillar. L'chomet nechoshet, akol aretz. L'malche Yehuda, l'sarea, l'kohanel la'amaretz. V'nilchamu eilecha, they're going to attack you. V'lo yuchlulach, but they will not overcome you. Because I am here with you to save you. What is Hashem essentially telling Yirmiyahu? Right, I'm going to make you a fortified city. Fortified city doesn't have a lot of what? Doesn't have a lot of friends. Doesn't have a lot of commerce. You're isolated. Okay, a fortified city means it's hard to get in, it's hard to get out. No one wants to do business with them. So when Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, you're going to be a fortified city, but don't worry, because I'm going to be with you. What is he essentially telling Yirmiyahu? Not only Sheyaminubo, but it's me and you, buddy. This is going to be a really lonely job. Don't think you're going to make any friends this way. Okay? Now that's obviously in contrast to what we're seeing here. Nehemiah is a man of the people. He is a leader of the people. He doesn't just preach from the ivory tower, which again, of course, is the role of the Navi. I'm not denigrating that. But Yirmiyahu gives the nevuah. Love it, hate it, he's telling you it. And for the most part, what did the people do? They hated him for it. They hated him for it. Nehemiah has a very opposite, very different approach to leadership. Nehemiah comes along and says, let's go. Join me. Nehemiah, Ezra, join me. Both of them have the same, right? One more passive, one more active. But the emphasis in both situations is on the people. What is the result? What do the people do to Yirmiyahu in chapter 21 of Yirmiyahu? V'hi kesi es yoshvei ha'ir azos ves ha'adam ves ha'behima b'dever gadol yamusu. Right? He says, I will strike all of these people. But what do they do to him? I missed the pasuk. They beat him down. Right? They hit him. They were physical towards him. And what do they do in chapter 38? Okay, verse 4. They throw him into prison. Right? They throw Yirmiyahu into prison. Now, why do I share all that with you? Because Yirmiyahu was not, again, he was a prophet. The prophet's job is to tell you what you need to hear, because God wants you to hear it, whether you like it or not. That's a very lonely position. It's a very lonely position to tell people things they don't want to hear. Nehemiah, and even Ezra, but we're talking about Nehemiah here. Nehemiah's greatness right now is that he mobilizes and rounds up the people. What would have a classic Navi have done here? And we've seen this, the Torah classes, we've seen this. A classic Navi would have said, you're wrong. What you're doing is inappropriate. It's against the Torah. And Hashem's going to punish you. If you don't change your ways, Hashem's going to punish you. That's what we would have expected. Nehemiah does that. He obviously warns those who are doing something wrong. But then he brings the people along for the journey. This is a theme that we've seen throughout Ezra. It's a theme we've seen throughout Nehemiah. It's what we highlighted when we talk about the role of names and lists in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, which distinguishes it from other books in Tanakh. And what we've been developing up until this point fits perfectly into this parak, which is it's about the people. Why is it about the people? Because again, understanding the historical time period that this is being written in. This is preparing the people for post-prophetic era. There isn't going to be Nevuah anymore. The days of the Navi telling you what Hashem wants, and you either listening or not, are gone. Now it's going to be people-driven. The people are going to have to initiate change. They're going to have to do what's right in their eyes. They're not going to have a Navi to rely upon anymore. And so while, yes, there are differences between Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra leads by example, is more passive, they join around him. Nehemiah, you imagine him, you know, on a microphone saying, let's go! Okay? So that's the difference, but the commonality between the two is both of them realized that you need the people, and that without the people, this is not going to be successful. And so it's astounding, really, that ve'etein alem kihila gedola, that he brings with him hordes of people, and they're picketing outside the guy's house, trying to convince them. And what happens? Pasachet, it's successful. Ve'omra lahem anachnu kaninu esachinu hayudim anim karim legoyim. Kidevanu, v'gam atem tikkuru esachem v'nimchuru lanu, v'yacharishu v'lo matzu davar. He says to them, what do I do? What have I been doing? I've been kaninu esachenu ha-yehudim ha-nimkarim la-goyim. I've had to go and to spend my own money to free slaves that have been sold to the non-Jews, to redeem these slaves. And now you're going to make me come and free your slaves also? Like, you know, you almost picture the Jewish mother. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know better than this. I had to go and redeem them for them. I'm going to have to do the same thing. I'm going to have to treat you like I treat a non-Jew. And that's basically what he's saying, right? That we expect this from our enemies. But now, I don't expect this from you. What a busha. Well, you should be ashamed of yourselves. And what happens? Vayacharishu v'lo matzu davar. They are silent. They are humiliated. Rashi says, shatku, they were silent. Vinitbaishu, and they were embarrassed. Velo yadu ma lahashiv, they were humiliated. Right, by the way, we employ the same tactic nowadays. So there's a wonderful organization called ORA, the Organization for the Resolution of Agunot, and this is the tactic they use. Guy doesn't give his wife a get. It's okay, so he doesn't get Maftar Yonah and Shul. He doesn't get Nali and Shul. He's put into Cheirim by the Beis Din. Mazel tov, so you go to the next city over. So what do? They come and they pick it outside your house, and they pick it outside your office building. Because once it affects your Parnassa, and once it affects your friends, all of a sudden it's a totally different equation. And it's successful. Because all of a sudden now you become humiliated. And no one wants to be humiliated. That's exactly what Nehemiah does here. Vayomar, Pasuk Tes, Lo tova davar asher atem osim. What you're doing is not the right thing. Halo biyiras Eloheinu teilechu mecherpasa goyim oyvenu. You have to do what's right in God's eyes, otherwise we're going to be the laughingstock of the nations of the world. They're going to say, if this is how Jews treat each other, ha ha. Right, you guys, this is how God's people choose each other. And by the way, we see this all the time. Right, that was the most painful part of any time you see on the front pages of the New York Post of these examples of Chil Hashem. So why do we cringe? We cringe because we know that there are anti-Semites out there that are saying, see, this is how Jews act in business. See, this is how Jews treat each other. See, this is how Jews are with money. Right, and this is exactly what Nehemiah is saying here. Right, lo tova davar asher atem osim. This is pasnished. This is not how we treat. You have to alo biyiras Elokeinu telechu. You have to have yiras shamayim. You have to follow Hashem's way. Micher pasa goyim oyvenu. Because if you don't, we're the laughingstock of the nations of the world. We're a disgrace to them. Vegam pasuk yud vegam ani achai unearai noshim bahem kesef vidagan nazvana es hamasa hazeh. Right, I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part to help the situation, and you have to do your part as well. Okay, hashiva ni na lahem kayom sedosehem karmehem zeisehem uvatehem. Cancel the loans. Give them back their property. Let's press the reset button, almost like a Yovel year, right? Let's press the reset button. Umeata kesef adagam v'tirosh v'yitzar asher atem noshim bahem. Give it back to them. Return it to them. Vayomru pasuk 12, nashiv umehem lo nevakesh kei naaseh kasher ata omer. We will do as you say. We're going to return everything to them exactly as you asked. Ve'kra et ha-kohanim v'ashpiyem la'asos kedavar hazeh. Nehemiah says, okay, that's really nice that you promised it. Let's get in writing. So he brings over the kohanim and he says, I'd like you to swear in front of the kohanim. V'gam chatzni na'arti. I shook off my the corner of my garment. V'omran, I told to them. Kacha yina'er ha'elokim et kol ha'ish asher lo yakim es ha'davar hazeh. Mibeiso umigo v'kacha yina'ur varek. The same way I'm shaking all the dust off of this, so to anyone who doesn't listen to this, Hashem should shake you out of your houses. Hashem should shake you from your wealth and from all of your efforts. Vayomru kol ha-kahal, amen. And everyone said, amen. Vayhalalu es Hashem v'yas ha'am kadavar hazeh. And they praised Hashem and they did exactly as he said. What does that sound a lot like? Pasuk Gimel? Not Nasa v'Nishma, you're too early in the Torah. All the way at the end of the Torah. Right? What does Moshe Rabbeinu say in Har Grizim and Har Eval? Right? Arur, Aish, Asher, right? Vayomru kol ha'am, amen. Arur, right? Cursed is the one who does this, and everyone has to say, amen. Okay? There is a series of promises that Hashem forces the Jewish people to make. Okay? And the implication is if you don't uphold that end of the promise, what's going to happen? Bad things are going to happen to you. That's clearly what's happening here, right? Kacha yina'er ha'elokim es ha'ish asher lo yakim es ha'davar hazeh. This is what's going to happen. Vayomru kol ha'am, and everyone says amen. Vayahalu es Adonai. What's this vayahalu es Adonai? Praise Hashem. Why are they praising Hashem? Says the Malbim, Rotza lomar, she'asuha b'simcha. They did this with excitement, kimekayim mitzvah, as if they were being mekayim a mitzvah. Right? They ran to do it. There was an excitement. There was an alacrity. And then the Malbim says something interesting. Shemevarich tchila birchas ha mitzvah. I don't know what that means. That they made a birchas mitzvah on this. Now, first of all, this isn't a mitzvah. In arguable, right, even tzedakah is a mitzvah. We don't make a bracha on tzedakah. So I'm not sure what that means. He says, Upo yikai, upe kaimu mitzvah tzedakah ve'ashavas havot. This was the mitzvah of giving tzedakah and unburdening your friend. And then he puts in parentheses, Ukvar chakru rabim im yesh levarak shemekayim mitzvahs kelah. And then he says there's a whole halachic debate about whether you're supposed to make a bracha when you fulfill this mitzvah. But nonetheless, right? How do we praise Hashem in our performance of mitzvah? It could have just said, Vayas ha'am kadavar hazeh. It could have said that they were happy and that they did this. What's this vayihalalu? It means that when we make a bracha over our mitzvah, when we do a mitzvah with excitement, and we say, I just heard Rabbi Gober talking about an esrog. I don't know what he was talking about. But, right, you take a lulav and esrog, and you do it with excitement. You say, Baruch atah, right, thank you Hashem. So that's vayihalalu. That's how we praise Hashem. We praise Hashem by not walking into shul every morning and say, okay, it's really early, I didn't get enough sleep at night. That's not praise to Hashem. Right? When my son, I ask, clean up the floor. Right? So he'll do it, but that's not honoring me. He's nervous that I'm going to take away, something. But if I say, Moshe, can you clean up the floor? And he says, gee golly, Dad, that would be amazing to be able to help you. Now we're talking. That's kavod. That's kibud av va'im. That's how you praise me, right? So, okay, maybe in my fantasy world one day. Does that ever happen? Do they grow into that at any point? No, never. Okay. Well, I'm.
Did you do it?
Did I do it? Well, my mom listens to these. Absolutely. No, I did not. Although I would like to say, whatever I failed at as a child, I've tried to make up to it in the last number of years. So. I don't know, maybe she'll give the rebuttal next week on Thursday morning. Who knows? Okay. Right, vayihalalu, but they praised Hashem. How did they praise Hashem? Because they did it with such alacrity and excitement and enthusiasm. Pasuk Yadala. Gam miyom asher tziva osi lios pecham be'eretz Yudah. Now he says, I don't just talk the talk, but I walk the walk also. You see, from the day that I was made as the governor over Yehuda, all these years, Ani v'achai lechem hapecha lo achalti. I was, right, we have leaders like this. I could have taken a salary. I could have charged you a tax in order to pay my salary, but I never took a penny from you guys because I didn't want to create a burden on the community. Pasuk tesvav. V'apachot harishonim asher lefanai. Those governors that came before me, hichbidu ala am. They placed a burden on the nation. Vayikhu mehem belechem veyayin achar kesef shkalim arba'im gam narehem shaltu asam alam. Right? They Taka took a tax. An enormous tax, and it was a burden on the people. Ve'ani lo asisi kein mipnei yiras elokim. But I feared God. And so I never took any money from you guys. I knew how difficult it was. I didn't take a salary. I know what the economic situation is. Pasuk tezayin 16, vegam. And you know what? I even built a wall. Hechazakti v'sadeh lo kaninu. And I didn't take any penny. I could have taken your fields. Nothing. V'chol na'arai k'vutzim sham al melacha. And as opposed to the previous governors where their underlings were taking money and bribes, my guys didn't do anything. We just did our job. We didn't ask for payment. We didn't ask for bribes. We didn't ask for your fields. Nothing. Right? So you got to follow my example. Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayehudim, Vaskanim, Mea V'chamishim, Ish, Habayim Aleinu, Minagoyim, Ashir Sviyosenu Al Shulchani. And not only that, and there's more. I used to throw these massive parties, right? A governor has to throw parties. The president, right, hosts in the White House. I used to throw these big parties, 150 people at a time, not including the non-Jews who used to come. V'ashir haya na'aseh liyom echad, shor echad, son, right? And all, this huge meal. V'imzeh lechem apecha lo bikashti. And you know what? I never asked you guys for a penny. Ki kavda havodah la'amazeh, because I realized how hard it would be for you. So Nehemiah is looking at these creditors in the face and he's saying, you got to change. You got to forgive it. But don't just do it because I'm telling you. I myself did it. I never accepted a penny. I threw these big parties. I paid it out of my pocket. I never asked for a tax. I never wanted a burden, you guys. And then Pasuk Yates. Zachra li Elohai letova. He looks to Hashem and he says, you know what, Hashem? I'm doing a pretty darn good job. Remember that. Kol asher asisi ala amazeh. Remember all of the efforts that I've been doing on behalf of the people. That's the end of the parable. He's not challenged. Well, so good. How do you read that last pasuk? So Molly immediately understood that as a challenge to God. Right? Almost like, okay, I did my part now. Now pay me back. I gave up, and now you have to give me back. Now there is one time we are allowed to challenge God. What is that? In tzedakah. Right? The pasuk says, ki lavavor nasoso, see, that we're allowed to test Hashem with tzedakah. I'm giving tzedakah, Hashem, you know, it would be nice if you returned it to me. Okay, but here, so Mali read this as a negative pasuk. Who else read it negatively? It's Gaiva. Why do you say it's Gaiva? He's patting himself on the back. He's a little bit self-congratulatory. Right? Imagine walking in the Shmon Esrei. And you come before Hashem, you say, Hashem, svatai tiktach, Hashem. You know what? I had a pretty darn good day, Hashem. I'm the man. You want to know everything that I did today, Hashem? I helped this person, I helped that person. You know what? Because of that, I expect you to do good for me. Okay, so maybe he's humble. Maybe he wants Hashem genuinely to help him. Maybe he wants Hashem genuinely to help him.
He's also saying this is a difficult nation.
Yeah, right? He's definitely saying, I'm putting in my hard work. Right, right, right. Remember all the hard work I'm doing. Okay? So the Malbim reads this as follows. The Malbim says, Shehashem yizkor lo zchut ze lo bavor rak kidei shezchut hazeh yizkor Hashem al am hazeh shezchus hatzadikim magin al am. In other words, Malbim reads it's not just about him, it's about the nation. That if the leader of the nation is virtuous, then the people benefit as well. That the zchut of the tzadikim magin al am, that if you have a leader that's righteous, it's good for the whole people. The Gemara, however, does not read it this way. And the Gemara reads it very much the way that Mali read this pasuk. So if you look on the last page of the packets that I gave you, the Gemara says the following. If the case is that Nehemiah wrote the book, okay, why is it not called Nehemiah? Right, in the time of the Gemara, there was not two books. There was one book. It was called Ezra. We split it up to Ezra and Nehemiah. But why is it called Ezra and not Nehemiah? That's what the Gemara wants to say. Michti, komili to Ezra, Nehemiah ben Chachalai Amrinu. Everything that happened in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah said them. Okay? And he wrote them down. V'Nehemiah ben Chachalai, my time alo ikri sifre al shmei. If that's the case, then Nehemiah said all of it and wrote all of it, then why is it called Ezra and not Nehemiah? So Amar of Yirmiyah, Bar Abba, Mimnei Shehichzik Tova La'atzmo. Because he took credit for himself. Shene'emar, as the pasuk we just read said, Zachra li Elohai la'tova. Remember me. Then the Gemara says, David Nami Meimar Amar. Doesn't David HaMelech also say this? When he says, Zachreni Hashem Bertzon Amecha, Pakteni Bishua Secha. So the Gemara says, no, David Rachmehu Dekabai. David was asking for compassion. In other words, David was saying that as a tefillah. Nehemiah was saying it as a demand. This is the situation. And then the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar, they give us a second answer. Mimnesha Siper Bignusam Shel Rishonim. That he denigrated those who came before him. Shene Amar is the pasuk we just read. Right, that the previous ones were bums, but I'm such a great person. Okay, so the Gemara, while we may have read this parak and said, "Ooh, this Nehemiah guy, he's hot stuff." You know who else felt he was hot stuff? Says the Gemara, Nehemiah thought he was hot stuff. Nehemiah allowed all of this to go to his head a little bit. There was a lack of humility. What is a good leader supposed to do? Well, be humble, but a good leader is supposed to create other leaders. Okay, if you have a CEO and he doesn't cultivate other leadership in the company, then he might be a good leader, but it'll fizzle out over time. The company won't do well in a longitudinal study. Okay? Good leaders build other leaders, and they create a pipeline of leadership. That's what a good leader does. What does Nehemiah do here? He builds himself up by what? By diminishing someone else. That's what we call, like bullies do that. Not good people do that. So the jury's out. And part of why I share this with you is because that's a little bit of the tension that's inherent within Nehemiah. Of course, Nehemiah is enormously successful. We have great credit to Nehemiah. He builds up the walls of Yerushalayim. He solves economic challenges. He creates a civilian defense force. These are amazing accomplishments. And by the way, he does them all in a very short period of time. But with that power, with that success, oftentimes comes overconfidence. And so the rabbis discredit him a little bit for his lack of humility. And they say, because you tried to promote yourself, what happens in the long run? You become humbled. Right? Someone told me this great, I was talking to someone yesterday. He said, everyone in life is humbled. Either you are humble yourself, or life situations will humble you. Right? That anyone who has any life experience knows that to be true. Okay? Nehemiah wasn't as humble as the rabbis wanted him to be. And so what happens? Tanakh humbles him. And how does Tanakh humble him? By not calling the book by his name. Right? You put your name out there, you try to promote yourself, ultimately, Hashem says, I'll make sure that you're not promoted. If you keep yourself humble, if you make it about the people, never about yourself, then ultimately, if you don't seek kavod, then kavod will follow you. That's an explicit mission in Pirkei Avos. That if you run after kavod, then kavod's going to run away from you. But if you're humble, if you realize it's about your mission in this world, that it's all about Hashem, that it's all about the people, then ultimately you'll benefit from kavod that will come your way. And that's exactly how the rabbis read into this text. Are we appreciative? Of course. But leadership is a complicated thing. Right? We see this in leaders our day and age. Okay? People in positions of authority, in positions of leadership, there's a very fine line between confidence and overconfidence. Between promoting your cause and promoting yourself. And it's something that leaders need to constantly be re-evaluating. They need friends and colleagues and co-workers and family members to constantly rebalance and to recalibrate. I always make the joke, right? Whenever I come back from these trips, when I go to Israel, you know, I was just in Israel in October with Federation. So it's like, they're amazing trips, okay? And thank God they treat rabbis like, they treat us really well there. So I come back and I'm like, hey, I've just been staying in the, you know, David Citadel for a week and the Inbal and the Hyatt in Tel Aviv and being out at fancy restaurants. And I come home, what's the first thing every time my wife does? And I love her for it. Here's the garbage, take it out, right? No, but I'm saying that's what you need, because the line is so fine, any position in leadership. Something Rabbi Goldberg and I talk about all the time. You see rabbis, people in positions of authority, that some succeed, some don't succeed, either because they're overly humble, and that's also not necessarily always a good thing, or because they're overly arrogant, and to live in the middle is really, really hard and constantly requires recalibration. And that's perhaps the rabbis look at Nehemiah with a little bit of standoffness here. The rabbis also, by the way, have the same approach to Mordechai. Right? Mordechai, and with this we'll end, just something to think about. Mordechai, all the way at the end of the book of Esther, it says, Mordechai ratzui l'rov echav, that he was loved by most of his people. Now, Mordechai is like the hero at that point in time. Okay? Rov Echav, he just saved the whole Jewish people. Not everyone loves him. So what does the Gemara say, though? The Gemara says he was in a position of power. And when you're in a position of power, politics are dirty. Sometimes you have to do things that, again, this line is so delicate. And that's, again, I think the challenge that Nehemiah has. Ezra, it's much easier for. Because Ezra is the sofer. He has his head in the book all day. But once you expose yourself to politics, once you expose yourself to leadership, so there are opportunities, but there are also enormous challenges. And if you don't constantly recalibrate that, sometimes you can go over to one extreme, which is how Chazal perceived Nehemiah in our parak. Everyone have a wonderful week. Again, next week, we continue Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m.